Atsumomo didn't return to the Okiya at all that night. When she did come back the following day, she smelled as if she had been sick to her stomach, and her hair was in disarray. She was summoned at once to Mother's room and spent a long while there. A few days afterward, Atsumomo left the Okiya, wearing a simple cotton robe Mother had given her, and with her hair, as I'd never seen it, hanging in a mass around her shoulders. She carried a bag containing her belongings and jewelry, and didn't say goodbye to any of us, but just walked out to the street. She didn't leave voluntarily. Mother had thrown her out. And in fact, Mameha believed Mother had probably been trying to get rid of Atsumomo for years. Whether or not this is true, I'm sure Mother was pleased at having fewer mouths to feed, since Atsumomo was no longer earning what she once had, and food had never been more difficult to come by. If Atsumomo hadn't been renowned for her wickedness, some other Okiya might have wanted her even after what she'd done to Shojiro. But she was like a tea kettle that, even on a good day, might still scald the hand of anyone who used it. Everyone in Gion understood this about her. I don't know for sure what ever became of Atsumomo. A few years after the war, I heard she was making a living as a prostitute in the Miyagawa Cho district. She couldn't have been there long, because on the night I heard it, a man at the same party swore that if Atsumomo was a prostitute, he would find her and give her some business of his own. He did go looking for her, but she was nowhere to be found. Over the years, she probably succeeded in drinking herself to death. She certainly wouldn't have been the first geisha to do it. In just the way that a man can grow accustomed to a bad leg, we'd all grown accustomed to having Atsumomo in our Okiya. I don't think we quite understood all the ways her presence had afflicted us until long after she'd left, when things we hadn't realized were ailing slowly began to heal. Even when Atsumomo had been doing nothing more than sleeping in her room, the maids had known she was there and that during the course of the day she would abuse them. They'd lived with the kind of tension you feel if you walk across a frozen pond whose ice might break at any moment. As for Pumpkin, I think she'd grown to be dependent on her older sister and felt strangely lost without her. I'd already become the Okiya's principal asset, but even I took some time to weed out all the peculiar habits that had taken root because of Atsumomo. Every time a man looked at me strangely, I found myself wondering if he'd heard something unkind about me from her, even long after she was gone. Whenever I climbed the stairs to the second floor of the Okiya, I still kept my eyes lowered for fear that Atsumomo would be waiting there on the landing, eager for someone to abuse. I can't tell you how many times I reached that last step and looked up suddenly with the realization that there was no Atsumomo and there never would be again. I knew she was gone, and yet the very emptiness of the hall seemed to suggest something of her presence. Even now, as an older woman, I sometimes lift the brocade cover on the mirror of my makeup stand and have the briefest flicker of a thought that I may find her there in the glass, smirking at me.